Hey guys,
I'm Paisley.
I'm Ava.
And you're listening to
Called by Name. So if you're watching the YouTube video, you can see we have some guests. We are not alone. We are very, very much accompanied in this episode. Do you guys want to introduce yourselves? Tell us how you know us.
Yeah. So my name is Zion. I've known them from youth and church, and it's been great.
My name is Hudson. I'm 17, and I've known them for a while. Just our parents were friends, and then, just through church and youth group and school.
Mm-hmm. I'm Lulu. I am Paisley's sister.
Today, we're going to be talking about camp testimonies, and then also just what God is doing in our generation. Mm-hmm. The reason we brought you guys on is because we, you know, all three of you are also incredible and so anointed, and you carry such an anointing on all your lives. And so we just wanted to have you on to talk about like what you think God is doing in our generation, what he's been speaking to you. So I think we're all going to share camp testimony. So if you want,
let's give context.
Yes.
We just all got back from our Rise Youth Camp. And 2 weeks ago, and it was really incredible, and God did some really great things, and we feel like we know obviously that when we share our testimonies, other people can hear from them and they can gain something from that, and you guys can receive what we received too. And so us sharing that, if you hear this testimony, one of our testimonies, and feel like you need that, it is totally yours to receive it. We are believing that for you too. And so
spirit of prophecy of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Wait, the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. That means what he did for another,
he can do it again for you.
So we just like dive right in, and who wants to start?
Okay. Well, my testimony from camp, I walked into camp I was expectant, but I needed a lot. I feel like I walked in with a lot of things that I was carrying, but I knew that God was going to do something, so I was expectant. And it was the second night of camp that God really got me. I feel like, so the message was about wrestling with God, and I felt like I was like, okay, that's what I need. I get to give God these things that I've been carrying. They did an altar call for, if you want to wrestle with God. And I went right to the front. I was like, I need this. So I just started I just started asking God, would you come and would you like show me yourself in like a different way? And he came, and like I literally became just like spitting these things out that I was like almost like confessing, but like I needed to give to him, that I had been carrying for a long time, and they were just coming so freely. And I felt like I was wrestling with God and with the things that I was giving him for like 30 minutes. It was crazy, like straight nothing. I couldn't really hear anything else. And I felt like God showed me like so many things and gave me so many visions and like words. And I felt like that was like a secret place that I like made with him, is like, this is where, this is what you get to go home and come back to. And I felt like I left camp with knowing like, okay, I'm not just going to go home and like pretend like nothing happened. Like I felt like God gave me something to come back to. And since then it's been 2 weeks since camp. And I feel like that I've not lost that hunger, and I just feel like it's growing good. And I feel like, and the story in the Bible is Jacob wrestling with God, and he wouldn't give up until he got God's blessing, and he wouldn't give up until he got what he needed and he wanted. And I feel like that is that persistence that God is teaching me, is like I have what you need, and you just got to come and be persistent, because I'm going to give it to you. But it's like that wrestling. It's like that persistence at fighting. So that's my testimony.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, this was my third camp with Jesus Culture, and Just a little bit of backstory information. Last camp was amazing, and God did a lot. Like, I was changed, and, like, mm-hmm. I really never was the same. Mm-hmm. But just, like, going into school year, it felt dry.
Yeah.
And, like, just going into this summer, like, I've just been praying into, like, this camp. Like, God, would you encounter me in what I experience you in a way that I've never felt you before? Mm-hmm. And he did that. So, like every year, camp, it's a place where you can really be close to God and like feel his presence, but it's also like somewhere we you can just be like refreshed, like get away from your phone, you're just like not distracted, you're with people and you're with friends. But I've just always had this idea of doing something with my school. It was my idea last year, but I've never really pursued it. And just like all through camp, God has really really highlighted my school. And just the second night I was just like sitting in the presence of God, and I felt him touch me. Like I felt the tangible presence of God like touch my body, and like I walked out of the building feeling different. Like I wasn't I felt like something changed that night. And just the third night, it was incredible. Like Pastor Jonathan, he was speaking about fire from heaven, and like I'm not lying. I felt a hand touch my forehead, and I felt the fire of God touch my body.
Wow,
so and powerful.
A little bit later, God highlights my school again, and the presence of God was so heavy in the room that I couldn't stand. I didn't just like fall back, like I was like crumpled, like I just crumpled to the floor, and just like starting up FCA now with my school, and just like. I'm fired for God. And my prayer is that God would encounter my peers and classmates the same way that he encountered me at camp.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love it.
All right. You want to talk this way?
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Okay. So, man, I got a lot. There was a lot of camp. Camp was, it was so good. Mm-hmm. It was amazing. But pretty much, I would say it started about a month before camp. Like, when God started like moving in my life a lot and like putting the things that he was putting on my heart for camp. Mm-hmm. And one of the things he was putting on my heart was just surrendering. Mm-hmm. So it was 2 weeks before camp started, and I just felt called to a fast. So I was like, all right, I'm going to fast before, because someone else I know who had an amazing encounter at My City, which is our youth group's like, what do you call it? Youth conference. He just had an amazing encounter. He's like, he said he fasted before that, and that like activated that. Yeah. And so I was like, I want that. Cause I was like, I really want to like encounter God this camp. Like I came with so much expectation for him to just move a lot, like powerfully. So it was probably 2 weeks before. And, he started like giving me things, like telling me things that like I could surrender. So I just started like surrendering like everything I could. And it was the week before camp, and that's when I started fasting. Like, first fast ever, a week is a lot for a first time, so don't recommend it, but whatever God calls you to do it, because it's good. But yeah, pretty much I surrendered all entertainment. So I wasn't like, no YouTube, Netflix, anything. And I wasn't like games, nothing. And then I also was doing all foods, and I didn't notice how much of a distraction just food was. Like, I actually, like, it was like God's like, this is actually like something you can idolize. Like, I was idolizing food. Every time I was bored, I was going and eating food. I was like, oh, you know what can I do, I'll just go eat something, snack on something. And that's like, it's like a distraction too. Like it's something big that, you know, the enemy uses. Like, what's the biggest thing like every single person goes through? Hunger. Like everyone hungers. So I was like, that was a huge thing. But like, God was like, you know, I was showing him how capable I was. Like, I wanted to show God, like, I'm capable of like laying it down. And like, it was also, he was also showing me like how strong I was, like under his strength, like giving it to him and just asking him for strength was like so powerful. Like, he was teaching me that I was capable, but under him. So what that's he so could good. Give me.
Come on.
So it got to camp, and the first night, like, I wasn't feeling anything. I was like kind of feeling his presence, but I was like, I want more. Like, I know you have more for me, God. I was like, I feel like I've surrendered everything. Like, where's the big moment? Like, I want to, I want this big moment, you know, like you come to camp and you just want to be wrecked by God. And, So like, it was the first night and I was just like praying, like worshiping, just trying to give everything. I'm like, I don't even know, like, I can't think of anything else I can surrender. Like, what else can I give up? Because when you give something up, like, God can't fill a hole if there's stuff there.
Right.
Like, you have to, you surrender it because you give it to Him and you open up that space. It creates a space that's open. If there's something in there, where's Jesus going to move? What's God's going to fill? Can't fill anything if there's stuff there. So I was like, oh man, I can't think of anything. And then I just heard Holy Spirit say, you know, you may not be able to think of anything, but hey, I can think of some things. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, like, why am I relying on my own strength? Like, this is something God has been teaching me, how to rely on His strength. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right, Holy Spirit, what's something else what else can I surrender? Mm-hmm. And I think this was like the second day, and this was in the morning, and it actually ended up becoming the message. Like, the way God moved, like, every single thing, I felt like it spoke straight to me. It was crazy. But pretty much, He was just like, you know, like, you can surrender your personality and your identity, because, like, you filling up yourself and, like, trying to make yourself someone that you think you should be, like, you know, He was like, surrender it to me and let me make you who you're meant to be. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, He has a purpose for you, but He can't give you that purpose if you're holding on to your own purpose that you have for yourself.
That's good.
So I just, like, I gave that up, and I was just like, it was like more and more, like, He was giving me more and more, like, the more I gave up, the more He was filling me.
Yep.
So it was the second night, and I pressed in, like, so much. Like, I was like, God, I want an encounter. Like, what else? Like, what do I do? And it was like, it was honestly like, what's the word for, like, you're trying to do something, like, deflating. I'll go with deflating. It was like, it was kind of deflating. I'm like, God, like, I keep coming back and, you know, I'm not feeling anything. Like, what's going on? What do I need to do? And they had us go back to our seats, and I sat down. I was like, do I just need to keep pressing in? And then Ruben, who is our leader, he was preaching, and he's like, all right, we're going to talk about Jacob and Esau and wrestling with God and just keep pressing in. I'm like, I need that. That's exactly, that's crazy. Like, so he called us up and he's like, if you just, you know, I challenge you to come up and just wrestle with God.
Yeah.
Like, so I went straight up to the front. I'm like, I'm doing this. I'm going for it. So he was like, Ruben said, he's like, I'm challenging you guys. You know, I want to challenge you guys to wrestle with God. But, like, I kind of felt like my spirit got challenged. And then I heard God, like, I felt like God was challenging me to do that. And so I was just pressing in on the ground, just like, God, I want all of you. I want all of you. Like, all I could say was, I want all of you, God. I want all of you for the longest time, forever. And I just kept pressing in and pressing in. And then I saw a picture in my mind of me sitting there and no one around. Like, there's no one else in the sanctuary, like, just me, like, on my knees, giving it all, and no one around. And I was like, all right, God, like, this is how willing I am. Like, I want all of you. So I'll stay here. I'll do that. Yeah. So, like, it kept going on, you know, there's people around, but then eventually, like, they dismissed and I stayed. Like, I'm like, God, I'm not moving until you show up and you move in my life. Cause I want all of you. Like,
come on.
He wants to give you stuff, but if you're not willing to take it, like, you can't do that. So I sat there ended up being 2 hours past dismissal, and he just literally, everything that I had surrendered to him, he was filling me up. I had so many people pray identity over me and just straight into my identity and who I am over and over again, and everything that I had surrendered, he was filling back up, like, with what he had for me. And eventually I was just still going. I'm like, all right, I'll go till 2 a.m. I don't care. Like, I want it all. I don't care how long this takes.
Mm.
And eventually, Cody Williams, our great technician for today.
Yeah, we need to give a shout out to
shout out Cody.
You guys can't see him, but he's there.
Right, he's
there.
Looking awesome.
And
right
he's
now.
Wearing really gnarly pink headphones. And
you sound great.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Anyways, that guy.
But yeah, that guy. Right over there. Can't see. He came in and he tapped me on the shoulder and he's like, I forgot exactly what he said. I think it was like, "Hey buddy, what's going on?" And he sat on the steps right in front of me and he just started talking to me and he was just talking to me pretty much about like things that I had been praying to, like God was like answering like through this conversation. But he ended up praying for me, and so I went back to it. I'm like, "God, like, do I keep going? Like, mm-hmm. are they gonna let me keep going? Are they kicking me out?" And I just heard God say, "You know, round one ends here in a tie. You know, continue it in your room." And it was so clear, like the clearest I'd ever heard God speak to me.
That's really
and
good.
He was like, "You know, go back round two and prove it in your room. Like, prove it to me. Like, prove how willing you are." Because it's really easy at a camp, like in the environment, but everyone's home environment is drastically different than that. So like still coming to God in your environment at home is just so powerful. So
that's so good.
Quite long, but
yeah, I just love what you're saying about how like you, I mean, sometimes God does answer to that wrestle quicker than other times, and sometimes he's like, you know, like you were saying of like, "God, I'm not gonna stop until you give me what I know that you have for me to receive." And sometimes God will give that to us, you know, quickly, and sometimes he, you know, we will receive that in a longer time. The more we wrestle, the more we press on and push ourselves a little bit to do that. And so I love that testimony of, you know, yeah, I wrestled with God, and slowly as I was making this exchange of giving and surrendering him, you know, the things I have to surrender, I was receiving what he had for me. And it was because I stayed persistent in the wrestle, and I didn't, you know, back down. You know what I mean? So that's so good.
I liked what you were talking about with the fasting too, because I literally like 2 hours ago just got done with a 24-hour fast, and I had never fasted before. So I was like, I just felt peace about doing like just 24 hours. But I did it for Circuit Riders Camp that we're leaving for on tomorrow. And so, and so it was just really encouraging hearing you talk about that. And I was like relating to what you were saying of like realizing how much I was like, "Oh my gosh," like the amount of times that I would be like, "What do I do right now?" And then I'd be like going to the front. I was like, "Lord, I'm so sorry for like letting this be like this should not be this much of a struggle." But yeah, so it was really awesome. Super
like,
good.
You might be like, "Oh, I don't have time. You know, I can't find time." But think about how much you snack.
Yeah.
Literally, how much are you going to that pantry and grabbing some chips and sitting there?
And that's the mental clarity that came with that. And I was even seeing like videos of like scientifically even just talking about like what happens in your body when you fast. And I was like experiencing so much like mental clarity and just being like, "Oh my gosh." And I was hearing the voice of the Lord so clearly because I was just like, "I'm not like, this doesn't matter." Like me being able to give up a fleshly desire to be able to seek the kingdom is something that I'm so adamant about. So I will literally sacrifice my need to eat. Like, and so anyways,
that's so
super powerful.
It's crazy.
So good.
Do you want to, you're on a
roll. Okay. Well, each night the Lord kind of was doing something new. So basically the last like year or so has just been really hard. Like I feel like I was just in such a dry season where I wasn't really hearing the Lord. I wasn't really, it was just such like a valley season. And it was hard because I was doing all of the things and I feel like I was just really just striving like, and that's always been something that's really hard for me is I'm such a go-getter, and Paisley will attest to this, you know, especially like with this podcast, she has seen that side of me and I'm sure that is scary sometimes. But I'm so ambitious and I'm so like, I got to get this, I got to do this. And so that gets hard with your relationship with God. If you're like, okay, I got to hit this next level, I got to do this thing, I got to get here. And that's where I was living. And so that first night when John was talking about laying things down, I just really felt called to lay down my need to feel like my works could ever like earn God's love. Like the way that God loves me is dependent on what I do. I had to lay that down because that was where that was a place I was living from. And also just that first night, God was just confirming so many things in me and so many things that I had been feeling. When I was 15, the Lord gave me a word that when I turned 17, that it was going to be a significant season that I'm stepping into. I turned 17 in September, so I'm like, okay, this is, but yeah. And so I've just been feeling so much like anticipation in my spirit with that. And just, I've just been feeling so stirred. And it was crazy because Jamie was my leader and she gave all of the girls in her group a notebook, and she had written like prophetic words in the notebook. And the word that she gave me was talking about how basically she saw this whole picture. I was in a white dress and the Lord was like, just like in this suit of armor. And he was like leading me through just this crowd of people. And, basically just talking about like, your life has been marked by purity, like all these things. And she was like, and there's something significant about this next season that you're stepping into. And there was so much confirmation around that night of like, there's something significant about the season I'm stepping into. And there's something so new that's coming. And so, yeah, that was night one. Just lots of, I got a word about how the Lord is making new wine out of me. Just things like that. Wow. Where it was just confirmation after confirmation after confirmation that there's something new that's coming. Mm-hmm. And then the second night, kind of what I feel like we've all been describing is we were like sitting there watching everyone else get encountered. And we're like, I want that. Like, why isn't that happening in me yet? And it was frustrating because I could see or I could feel the Holy Spirit in the room, but he wasn't really doing anything in me. And so I was just kind of like sitting there like, what am I? And actually it was crazy because I thought of that story in the Bible where Jacob wrestles with God until he gets the moment with God that he wants. And so I was just on my knees and I'm like, Lord, like I'm not willing to leave this place until you change my heart and until you give me a new spirit and a new hunger and a new fire. And so I'm just sitting there and I'm pressing in and nothing really happens. And then Reuben's message was on that passage in the Bible. And I was just like, okay, that wasn't, you know, that wasn't for no reason. Like that wasn't just a coincidence. Mm-hmm. And so, he did the altar call for, people who felt like they needed to press into that wrestle. And I wanted to go up, but I just stayed in my chair and I was like, I just felt like I was supposed to just sit and just pray and do my own thing. And so I was just praying, and just with like the year I've had, I was like, Lord, I just need you to remind me that you're near to me and remind me that like you see me and that you're here with me right now, even though I don't feel it. And I got three words that were literally all about how he was there in the dark moments and in the moments where I didn't feel him. And I even got this one word about, this lady came up to me and she said that she got a picture of me and I was sitting with this map in my hands and I saw like all the different routes that I could go, but I was just sitting there and I was like, Lord, like which route do I take? Like, and she was like, you were just waiting. Like, and you were just waiting and waiting and waiting because you wanted to be faithful and you wanted to be obedient. And she said, the Lord is actually saying like your relationship with me is so like, we are so one and we are so intertwined that I actually trust you to make that decision. Wow. Which was crazy because for the past few months, I have been like stressing out about, like, what am I doing after school? Because I'm going to be a senior this next year, and I don't know what I'm doing with my life. Like, I have zero plan. And it's hard when, like, all of the adults around you are like, so what are you doing after high school? And I'm like, I don't know, Margaret. I would like to know. And so it was just like, okay, like, I feel, you know, equipped to now, like, I don't have to stress about that, and I don't have to worry about the next step, because that comes with also having, like, an ambitious personality like I do, where you're like, okay, what do I need to do next? Like, what's coming next? And not having that is, like, stressful. And so the next morning when John did that whole, like, you guys all have different, what did he say? He was like, you guys all, I've assigned you different people to, like, give prophetic words to. And then it was, like, about yourself.
I picked a person for each of you.
Yeah. So then you, like, got this prophetic word. He's like, "Heh, it's for you." And I was like, okay. And it was actually about that same thing of, like, hey, the Lord actually trusts you to make decisions in partnership with him. And so I was like, okay, you're clearly trying to speak something to me. So yeah, the night three was probably just, like, the biggest, like, what I remember the most.
Yeah.
So John did an altar call for people who felt called to their school. And I, guys, I do not like my school. I literally, I'm sorry. I just, like, which you're not going to find a teenager that's like, I am so excited to go to school. Like, you have no idea. But there are some of those. Oh, I'm not one of them. Anyways, if you're one of those, that's amazing for you. I just, like, but it wasn't just like, oh my gosh, school sucks. It was like, no, I hate my school. Like, I literally,
wow.
hold on, it gets better, I promise. And so it was just like, I'm, like, literally awful. And so and so John comes over and he, like, puts his hand on me, and he's just like, Lord, we just pray for a fresh anointing over Ava. And I was like, ugh, and I, like, fell out in the spirit. And I just got, like, hit. And the Lord just started to, oh my gosh, I just was, like, weeping, and I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't, like, it was like, because I was like, I've spent so much time complaining, and, like, you know, kids in China don't have a way to go to school, and I was just like, I'm sorry. And so, and he just started giving me, like, literally just pictures of, like, students going to our school, and he was like, I actually have such a heart for them. And he actually told me, like, I can't work through you if you aren't willing to have a heart for your school. And I was just like, sorry. Like, I am so sorry, Lord. And so he just really, in that moment, just gave me such a heart for my school and for our, you know, the people on administration. Because that was my issue for so long, was I was like, they're so controlling and they don't care about us. And I, like, I just, like, literally, anyone who has been in a remote proximity of me ever will attest to the fact that I would just be like, I hate it. Like, don't go there. And so it was just like,
wow.
And so it was just in that moment, the Lord is like, you say you want me to work through you, but you're not actually willing to recognize, wow, like, yeah, my people. Those are my students. And yeah, you like, yep. And you've been complaining and saying that this place is a waste of time. And I was like, just, that's, like, the conviction. Wow. I was just laying there, and I was like, okay. And so, and then after that, this was honestly, like, so, like, literally not even related. So it was like, I had this whole moment where the Lord was like, grow up, stop complaining. And then I just saw, when I was little, I used to see angels, and I haven't seen one in, like, forever, and I'm just laying there, and I just see an angel, and the Lord was, like, really just started taking me through moments in my childhood that were hard and traumatic, and just things that, like, I've had so many questions about, like, why did, like, Lord, where were you when this happened? And he just, I remember there was this one moment in like second grade. This boy would like every day during recess, not even kidding, we had to like stand on this wall and like eat our little like fruit snacks or whatever. And this kid would come up and he would literally like corner me and just like stare at me and like kick me. And it was, I'm not even kidding, it was traumatizing. And it made me so afraid to like interact with any male on the face of the earth, like ever.
Oh, no.
And so I, in that moment, the Lord was just like literally just healing that in my heart of like, and I was just sitting there like, oh my gosh, like you were actually there in that moment. And the Lord was just like, I was actually holding your hand. Like, I was actually like, I was with you in that moment. And he just began taking me through like these moments where I was like, why did you allow that to happen? Because now that's created something in me that I've actually had to heal from. And anyways, so I was just laying there literally a mess. And he just really did some heart surgery in me where he just began taking things out. He was like, you don't need that. You don't need that. Why is that there? And, you know, just like really removing some things. And I've just felt so like light and just free and just like, okay, like now I feel like I can actually, like, yeah. I've done the root work. The Lord has done the root work. And so now there's space for him to come and fill me up even more.
That's incredible. Okay, so for me, if I'm being completely honest, the couple weeks before camp, I was not putting in the effort with my relationship with God. I was going to church. Obviously, I was talking about Jesus just with my friends and my family, but I wasn't putting in the effort in the relationship side of it. And I started to wake up really anxious. Just a lot of things were going on. And I, every morning before the, like, week and a half before camp, I would wake up with this super anxious feeling, kind of feeling very panicky. And I am not an anxious person. I don't get anxious very often. And so I was like, what is going on? And I would just, the enemy was attacking me so brutally with lies and doubt and the feelings of shame and guilt from my past sins and just past, yeah, just like in, even like they weren't even bad, that of bad sins. It was even just like, oh, my past anger issues or past things where I would, I don't know, just like say weird things or sins that I thought was like terrible to me. And Dad, why are you like, I can't, because he's like, what?
What was that?
I didn't ever smoke cigarettes. I don't know why you're doing that. So the enemy just kept bringing up these, my past sins and my past just feelings of shame and guilt. And it was really haunting me, really pressuring me with these. I would feel so anxious and just those feelings of guilt came back to me. And so the morning before we left for camp, I had woke up. I felt super anxious. I felt all these feelings. And I was just talking to God. I was like, God, I don't want to put up with this anymore. I don't want to deal with this. I'm tired. I'm weary. And I feel attacked. And I just want to receive what you have for me. And he was speaking to me and he was saying, there at camp, there's going to be an exchange. And in order for you to receive what I have for you, you have to surrender what you're holding on to so tightly. Like I was gripping on to these things that I had surrendered to, and I needed to surrender those to God so that I could receive what he had for me. I had no idea what those things were. Honestly, I was like, I don't know what I'm holding on to. I just got to, you know, whatever. So anyways, we get to camp. One of the sessions, our Pastor Emma had preached about being in full send and just in order to receive all that God has for you, you have to be in full send and you have to be in full commit. And then she did an altar call of just people who wanted to be in full send. And I feel like I don't always, like, you don't, I feel like some people, they just go to the altar just because, and they don't actually know what they're submitting or surrendering. And so I was just like, God, I don't know what I need to surrender, so I'm not going to go up because I don't know what I need to do. And so in that time of worship and just watching people go up, God really started to speak to me and highlight things and, like, just pull them out of me of what I needed to surrender to him. And I started to get it. And then then Emma did another altar call. And in that moment, I immediately heard God say, it's never too late to submit. And so I was like, okay, God, let's do this. And I went up to the front and I immediately just started rebuking the lies and the shame and the guilt. And I started giving that to God. And then along with the other things that God was pulling out of me and wanted me to surrender. And I started to give that to him. And I started to, I mean, honestly, like Hudson, you were saying how just surrendering those things and God was like pulling them out of me. As I started to surrender those things, I started to receive what he had for me. And I started to make space because I was clearing it out so that I could receive what he had for me. I was just wanting a renewed mind and a sound mind because I honestly couldn't hear God anymore. I was like, I can't discern my thoughts with the enemy's thoughts and Jesus's thoughts or voice speaking to me. I don't know who is who anymore. And it was getting really overwhelming. And so I said, God, renew my mind, give me a sound mind because I know that's what you have for me. And as I was declaring that, Pastor Jonathan came over and laid his hand on my head and he said, we declare the lies and the doubt and the shame to leave in Jesus' name. And I was just like, yes, yes, Lord. This is like, how did he know? And then I immediately felt a switch in me change. And it was like walls had just fallen down in my mind and in my heart. And I felt like that exchange happened and I received the sound mind that he had for me. And then right after, you know, that happened, Jonathan said, we declare a sound mind over this mind and we speak truth into this mind. And I was like, yes, amen. I agree with that. That's yes. And I had that exchange that he told me he was going to do. And then I didn't wake up with any anxious thoughts. And then the next morning, for one of the sessions, I don't know if it was morning or night, I don't remember, but I just started to, like, I know that wall had fallen, but it was like there was this glass wall in between me and Jesus, and I could see him through the glass, but I didn't know how to get to him. I didn't know how to get to his strength. I didn't know how to get to the love that he had for me or what he, you know, I felt stuck again, and I felt really broken, and I was just, like, sitting there, like, I don't know what to do right now. And Emma, again, she felt like we were supposed to pray over miracles, and if there's anyone who needed a miracle. And I physically didn't need any healing, didn't need any miracle, but mentally and spiritually, I really needed that breakthrough. And so I raised my hand and I had a friend come and pray with me. And then one of the leaders came and prayed with us. And he just really helped me, like, process through why I was feeling stuck and why I felt like there was this glass wall in between me and God. He was like, he got this picture of, you know, when you sing really loud or like opera singers, you know, that they like break the glass, the wine glass when they sing really loud. And he was like, we got to do that. We got to scream the name of Jesus and break that glass down. Mm-hmm. And so we all stood up leader had come up to me or he asked me, he was like, what do you feel like that? I was like, I'm scared. And because, you know, you always hear people in the back just, like, yelling Jesus. And it's like, go you. But it's like, never, you never want to, like, it's like, oh, I would never do that. I don't need to do that. Whatever. And so I was like, I'm scared. And so we stood up and we all just started to scream the name of Jesus. Wow. And I physically felt that wall break. And I felt just like Jesus ran to me and I felt his embrace. And then right after that, you gave me that word, incredible word about literally exactly what had happened, like feeling like I was in this dark room and feeling like I was in the waiting and feeling like I was stuck, and like it was so, so dark and overwhelming, and I didn't know how to get to God's strength. And then after I had surrendered what was making me feel stuck and receiving what he had for me, you know, that door opened and I could feel his love and his embrace because I had submitted everything to him and surrendered that to him. And yeah, since then I am actually putting an effort in a relationship with him. And I mean, it's fun. Like, it's like having a relationship with God is like so fun, you guys. Yeah. Like, that's the only word I can really think of. It's like, it's divine and it's beautiful. And yeah, it's really amazing and fun. And yeah, I haven't woken up anxious. I have a sound mind.
Yeah. And, come on.
Yeah, God really healed me from that and really broke down those walls that I think I allowed the enemy, and I gave the enemy authority to build those up in my heart and in my mind to try to take my attention off of God. And yeah. So anyways,
yeah,
that's what happened with me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, did you still have,
oh yeah,
Lulu had stuff she wanted to add.
Yeah. Okay. I also feel like with mine, I had, actually I got a lot of prophetic words that were like the season before camp, and yeah, camp was just like a marking moment. Cause I feel like God just brought so much clarity. And, so the season before camp, I was like really confused cause I didn't really feel God. And I felt like there was this, I felt like God was kind of hidden. I went and I prayed every day and I like read my Bible, but I didn't feel that, like, I didn't feel his presence. I was just kind of confused. But I knew God was there. I knew that, that he was teaching me something, but I wasn't sure what, but I felt like he kept wanting me to lean in. And so I got so many prophetic words at camp that just explained everything. I felt like, I got this one word, from Ben, I think you mentioned him earlier, but, he's like, I've been listening in for the past 5 minutes, God's just been whispering this like yes over you. He's like, I need her wholehearted yes. Like I am, for what I've called her to, I need her wholehearted yes. And I was just like, I felt God so much in that moment. When he came and shared that with me, I was like, oh my gosh. And one of the things that Ben said, he was like, and one of the things that God had told him was, he's like, the things that we are going to do together with that yes, because she trusts me, the plans that, and that goes for anybody, like, when you give God your wholehearted yes, like what God can do with that is like, yeah, I'm so excited to see what God does with that. I got another word about, Emma actually gave me a word about, me stepping from, being a student to being like a student teacher. Mm-hmm. And one of the things she said was like you go and you, it's like going to school and then, it's like going to school but like doing the work beforehand, or like if I'm gonna go to school and like spread the word of Jesus, like I'm gonna beforehand like pray and I'm gonna like do the work beforehand and then take that to school or take that wherever I go and share the gospel. She's like, there's just so much that's so important to before you actually do something, but like the preparation and like being in that secret place with God before, and then when you go out and like that glow that he still has on you is like, you know, I don't know if that makes sense or if I worded that right, but God fulfilled so many things that I've been waiting for.
God did so much at camp and all of us. Yep. And we really do believe that you guys can receive that.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go to camp just, you know,
right,
to receive that. You can receive it through listening to this. And yeah, anything you want to?
I was just going to really quick, we wanted to talk about what you guys think God is doing in our generation. So we can go around and really quickly talk about that.
So as Lulu was speaking, like, I just noticed something like something that was, it, we all had in common before camp is we all felt like we were kind of like in a dry season. Like we all felt like we were stuck. Like I felt the same thing. Like what enabled me to do that is a prophetic word that I have about starting revival in my school. But I just felt like I was lacking in the secret place and just bringing it to, like, just speaking to God, like in the relationship part, like you were talking about. And that's like what enabled all that. But I just feel like we kind of all have that in common, and what God is doing in our generation is, I think I just felt like the Holy Spirit say he's raising up like strong-willed leaders and warriors. Like the strength in just doing it and like coming back and putting in the effort. Like the what the enemy is going to challenge us with is we have to be unwavering. Like that was when we did the prophetic words over ourselves. One thing that I heard was just unwavering faith. Like you can't be like, when it's wavering, that creates like, if you like wave something, I know it kind of like creates like cracks in it almost. It creates like spots for things to come in, like for lies to come in and the enemy to like plant stuff that like will grow. And so I just like felt like he's just raising up like leaders and warriors that are just gonna be like so set in their faith that there's just nothing that can move them. Like there's just nothing you can do. Like they're just so set, they're so in love, they do not care. They're just like, I've already given it all, so I'm not gonna stop giving it all and pick up everything. Like once you feel the weight lifted off, you're not gonna pick the weight back up. Be like, all right God, I'm taking that back. Actually, so
yeah, that's so good.
I don't know,
that's so good.
What I think, it a little bit of like kind of background, but like it was like last week, and I was honestly like feeling like kind of started to fade a little bit. And then just like I began to read my Bible, and I read Acts 2 verse 25, and it says, King David said this about him: I see that the Lord is always with me, I will not be shaken, for he is beside me. And just in that moment, I had almost this love of like certainty, and like I just felt secure. And like with that, like I really feel like even like the enemy knows that something's coming, and he's doing everything he can try to do to possibly stop that. But what's coming is it might not look how we want it to and expect it, but it's going to be different. And God's raising up like radical young women and men and setting them on fire for him. And I don't think it's going to look like the spaces that we think it is. It's going to be like our active lifestyle. It's not going to be, might not be in an auditorium, but it'll be up on the streets, talking to people that you don't know. And like, I feel like it's our, it's going to be our active lifestyle that is our worship. It's not, it's not this that is our worship. It's it's this. It's our heart posture of our our lives that is really going to make an impact in this generation.
That's good. Something that, as I was just praying about this, the Lord, I feel like he's just breaking generational curses. Like, I feel like our generation is going to be the one to stand in the gap and say, I have seen alcoholism ruin families, I've seen anger ruin families, I've seen X, Y, and Z ruin families. And I feel like I was talking to one of my friends, and she was just talking about, she has an incredible testimony with alcoholism in her family, and just how that really has destroyed her relationships in her families and et cetera. And she was just, she was talking about how she feels like that's something the Lord is doing in her. She's seen that, and she's actually seeing, standing in the gap. And for generations, she was telling me how, like, you know, it, that that has been in her family for like generations. And she was like, I'm not willing to do that. Like, it stops with me. And as I was talking to her, I feel like that's something that the Lord is doing in just young people everywhere, is he is stopping the evil that has been penetrating homes for generations. Like, I just feel, I just feel that, that like we're going to be the ones to stand in the gap and say, okay, but not with me, not with my family. And then something else I felt was, last night I was reading 2 Chronicles 34, and it's talking about King Josiah, And it's talking about, so this is, yeah, 2 Chronicles 34:1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight and followed the example of his ancestor David. He did not turn away from doing what was right. During the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, Josiah began to seek the God of his ancestor David. Then in the 12th year, he began to purify Judah and Jerusalem, destroying all the pagan shrines, the Asherah poles, and the carved idols and cast images. He ordered that the altars of Baal be demolished, and that the incense altars, which stood above them, be broken down. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that's just also something. And it goes on to say how King Josiah, as he's having people restore the temple, the Lord's temple, how they actually find they find the written law, mm-hmm. and how he starts reading the law and the story of Moses and all these, the stories of the people who had come before him. And he's like, we're actually not living in righteousness. We've been living in sin, and we haven't been living the way that we're supposed to. And so he begins this process of purifying, mm-hmm. of purifying Judah. And it's just so beautiful. And I feel like that's something that the Lord is also speaking of, like, I am going to use your generation to say, actually, this isn't right. This isn't okay. And we're actually going to begin to turn away from things that have been normalized for generations. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to start to come back to church, come back to the word, come back to the love of God, and recognize that that's where it's at. Like, the pursuit of happiness is with the Holy Spirit. It's with the Lord. Like, we're not going to find that in anything else. And I think that there's a realization of that that is going to begin to take place. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Wow. I mean, for me, honestly, guys, we know revival's coming. Like, God has really, since last camp, put it on my heart. Just a heart for revival. And to see that in my generation, and I mean, the amount of people that I've talked to who have been like, oh yeah, revival's coming, I feel it coming. And I think for the longest time I was kind of just in like preparation mode of like, it's thinking in my mind it's going to be this big thing, and like you were saying, like, it's not how we're going to expect it, like how we expect it to be. And just recently, like, when I'm praying over revival over our generation, I just, every time I hear God say, revival's, like, happening right now. Like, it's, mm-hmm. it's here.
Yep.
And it's in the simple, and it's in the small moments, and it's in the, just the little things. And I think it starts with our heart posture, like you're saying. Yeah. And it starts with the time in the secret place in your relationship with God. Because once you've got that on a firm foundation and you're set up with that, I think once you're from there, you can do anything, and God can do anything through you. And and we can go out and share the gospel with the world. Like, we don't have to be this certain. I think for the longest time I was like, okay, God, make me into the person I need to be for your revival. Like, prepare me. But we don't need to be a certain way. We don't need to be, you know, this or that to do that, to start revival, to for God to use us, you know, he wants to do it in us and through us now. It isn't, he's not, you know, obviously we don't know the time and the place, but I just really do feel like it's simple, as it's really simple like that. And he's doing it right now in this day. And, it doesn't have to be this big thing that we expect it to be. It's not about that. It's not like, I think recently I've taken that focus off of me. How is God going to use me? What do I need to do? Mm-hmm. But it's like, no, I just need to sit back. I need to get my relationship with him good, and then let him do the rest through me, and just be a temple for him, you know? And, honestly, that's what I feel like he's doing, at least in me. And I think that's, there's a call that we need to respond to. And that we need to pick up, and we need to say, all right, God, I'm giving you my yes. I'm going to sit back and let you do it through me, you know, because we put the focus on ourselves so much. Like, I think especially in this generation, it's like, oh, it's about me. It's about what can I do, you know?
Yeah.
And so taking that focus off of ourselves and saying, God, I'm giving you control, because, you know, we don't need revival to come for us. Like, it's not, or like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not about us. It's not.
Yeah.
it's all for God's glory. So, yeah.
Anyways,
it's good.
What do you have? What do you think, Lou?
I think that, yeah, honestly, what everyone was saying is, like, I love what you said, though, too, is, like, revival is in, like, the small moments, and, like, the preparation is in us actually doing our part and, like, going to that secret place with God. That's God's desire is to have that one-on-one relationship with all of his children. Right. And, like, that's his heart. Mm-hmm. And I feel like us, like, giving God our yes and then letting him, like, shine through us and be that light to people. I think that, like, us just being ourselves and who, like, God has called us to be and being set apart and being okay with that, you know, I think that people can just look at us and be like, you know, I want that. And, like, we have no idea what God is doing behind the scenes. Like, yeah. when we do our part, like, we actually have no idea what God does. And, yeah, I think that revival is... revivals is here already. Yeah. I think when the word revival is like this big, I mean, at least I think moment, of yeah. revival as this big, like world shifting moment, you know, or like life shifting moment. But it's really already happening, and it's really just, God seeking his children and like that, and us getting to be a part of that is like right. his plan. Right. And so, yeah.
So good. Yeah. Did you have something you want to say? He picked up the mic, so I just assumed.
I mean, something our youth pastor always says, like, we've prayed a bunch. He's like, you know, God, I want to see revival start in me. Like, it starts in you.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
the revival isn't just like, boom.
Yeah. yeah.
It's like, it starts in you, and it spreads. Like, I when he called us up for school, like, who feels like they're called to their school. Mm-hmm. I went up, and God was showing me a picture of, like, it was me going to my school, but then there's also, I started praying for the other schools, like, we go to school, but there's other campuses. Yeah. So I started praying, and then I saw a picture, and God's like, you know, you're not the only leader I'm raising up, right? I'm raising up leaders in every single school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it starts in our school, and the leaders go in, and we catch other people on fire,
yeah. right.
and those people catch more people on fire. And I just saw, like, it was like a red, like a pin getting thrown, like there was the first person throwing it at every single school, and then it was just bursting, like, out of the schools, and it just spread all over. So it was like the revival it's starting in every single school. Like, he's starting it in you, you know. It starts with you going into your school and spreading it. And I just saw, like, a picture of it starting in the schools, but then it was catching, and it just kept going and going, and then it covered the whole entire state, like every single state. Wow. And if it's covering every state, that's a whole entire nation. And then it was covering the nations and going into every other nation. And like, soon enough, it was just the whole entire world. It was just like everyone was covered.
A wildfire. So,
It was like a wildfire. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I think that, yeah, I love that. And I think that it's like we're all at this place. It's like we want everyone to have what we have. You know, it's like, it's almost like it's like bursting in me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I just want to take that anxious, like, person who doesn't know God, I just want to shake them and be like, you know, like, this is what, like, this is, like, here's Jesus, you know, this is, like, what he's done. I feel like that's something that God is, like, totally putting on my heart, is, like, go out, like, I've called you, go to the front lines, you know, I've called you. And it's, I feel like I've been afraid, because, like, I've, like, been afraid of that, because I'm like, well, what are people going to think of me? I feel like there's always those thoughts, but I feel like I just have to, like, quiet them out, because, like, that those thoughts don't matter. Like, that doesn't matter. I just, like, yeah, I felt that phrase, like, I'm calling you to the front lines. I'm calling you to the battlefield, you know? It's like, there's, this world is so broken and so hurt, and go show them Jesus, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I really feel, like,
strongly just in our schools. Like, it starts with us and it starts in our schools. And especially with kind of the end of the summer, coming to the end of the summer, what are some ways that we can, what are some tips, I guess, that we can give to being that light in your school? Mm. And just being Jesus, the hands and feet of Jesus in your school, and starting that revival, but it's that simple, and kind of explaining what that looks like. Because it's not just us that we're leaders. You guys are leaders too, you know, so.
Tips, I would say, talks about in scripture, walking and living in the Spirit.
Yeah.
And for so much of my life, I've always known God, but I truly never knew him.
Yeah.
I never had a relationship with him. And like, even when I did, like, when I'm walking in the Spirit, like, I'm continually choosing to pick up my cross and walk with him daily, not just in morning and night, not just start the day off with God and finish off the day with God, but like, God wants to know what you had for breakfast. God wants to have a continuous relationship with you throughout your day.
Yeah.
And I feel like when you have your eyes focused on God throughout your day, that's what changes your heart. And I feel like having that heart posture of just like walking with God through the day really can help. Like, even when you're walking through your school halls and like your environment can start to shift you, but like, you're like, God, I didn't like how this made me feel. Mm-hmm. God, I like just having those conversations with him throughout the day. Yeah. I feel like even like recently has been a big game changer. But
yeah.
That's
good. That will overflow out of you, and other people will see that. Mm-hmm. See that, oh, there's something different about him.
Yeah.
I want that. And then you just being an example. All you're doing is just walking with God and having that relationship. But they see that, and they want that too. And then God will start to do that through you. You're just chilling. You're just having a relationship with God. So that's so good.
Yeah, no, I mean, what my experience has been is just to be a light, you have to walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's really easy when you have started to build your relationship with God, and you have started to, you know, see, you've started to walk in that light and realize what that is. But a lot of these people, I don't know how to word it. It's like they don't know what they're missing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're just doing everything else they can to try to find the one thing that's going to be satisfactory. And so I think sometimes it can be really hard. Like, I had a girl I was friends with this year, and oh my gosh, it was hard, like, choosing to walk in love with her, because it was like, sometimes I literally just wanted to shake her and be like, how do you not, like, I, Jesus, like, that's the answer.
Yep.
And so I think, but we can be doing all the right things and saying all the right things and inviting them to church and all the things, but if you're not walking in love, like, the Bible literally talks about this in the Gospels of how, like, if you're not walking in love while you're doing those things, like, it doesn't even matter. And so I think that has been the biggest point, I guess, in my life, of just like, none of this matters. Like, none of this counts if I'm not walking in love, and if I'm not practicing what I preach, if I'm not walking out in the love of God, like, what am I? You know, none of it matters. Like, none of the things I do matter.
Yeah.
So,
good.
Walk in love.
Walk in love.
Walk in love. Number one command in the Bible. Love one another.
It's just some tips. You know, we were talking about, like, I don't know if you heard Cody was talking about, we had, it's just like community, relating to our community. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Yeah. Like, what are your friends talking about?
Right.
They said, what? Like, does that glorify God? You know, the music you're listening to?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was something, like, God was having me surrender, like, Benson Boone, Benny Boy. haven't listened to him really at all since then, but you know,
yeah,
it's like the things you listen, it's not even like, it doesn't have to say bad words, like just the
right, the message,
yeah, just the message it's sharing, like what are you listening to, like Beyonce is not it, guys. I promise you.
Taylor Swift,
Kendrick Lamar, they not like us. Yeah, we're not like them. You don't need to be like that. No. But like, you know, who are you surrounding yourself with? Like, what's your community? Yeah. You know, like, show me your five closest friends and I'll tell your future. Is that it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just what are your influences?
Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who you spend time with and like really reflects on you.
Why do you think you spend time with Jesus? Because you start to become more like him when you spend that time, you know? Like, if someone says, show me your five closest friends, you know, you should have Jesus on that list. Like, you want to have Jesus on that list. Because it's, like, the biggest thing. That's the best influence you can have in your life is reading your word and finding out what's actually good. Yeah. You know, like, we live in a twisted world where right is wrong, wrong is right. Like, you know, the devil can only make cheap alternatives.
Yeah.
So, you know, like the rap you listen to, like, you know, there's rap that actually glorifies God. Like there's something that's authentic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Starting your heart.
I think like too, it's hard because I feel like there's always those groups at school that you're like, oh, I want to be friends with them. But, you know, they're not really that good of influences. I think that, it can be hard sometimes to like want to fit in with everyone else, but it's like you're actually meant to be set apart and to stand out. And I think that can be hard sometimes to just want to fit in. Like that's our natural, you know, like what can I do to fit in or what can I do, you know? But I think that that who you hang out with and what you're like. What you're consuming and like what you're like, you got to guard your heart and you got to like I don't know, I feel like
that's good.
Yeah, words are hard, but
words are hard sometimes.
Yeah.
Right, well, should we wrap up or is there
more? You guys
talk for way too long.
I know, we've talked for like an hour now, over an hour.
Yeah.
We're just like,
I got.
No, that's well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And please give a shout out to Cody.
Yes, thanks, he's been here.
Do you want to give us a wave?
Yeah, you guys.
Give the people a wave.
Make it on the podcast a little bit. Because we have mentioned you and we've like talked about how we need to have you like just pop on so they know what you look like and they know to see you, you know?
He's the best.
I gotta know you.
Ever.
I gotta know Cody.
Best dad ever.
This isn't my greatest color, but
it still right. looks amazing.
You know? It's gonna be done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And voice.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast.
Yes.
We really appreciate your time and so
Miranda Coleman.
You pray us out.
Someone to pray us out.
I can do.
Excellent.
Okay. Oh no. I'm scared to touch.
Just like hold the bottom.
I could crack it, you know.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
I could crack it.
Oh, thank you God so much for this group of people. Thank you for this podcast. Mm-hmm. God, I thank you for the listeners. I just pray that just with us sharing our camp testimonies, God, that people would hear them and need them and receive them, and that you would do what you did in our lives, in their lives too. And God, I ask that you would continue to start revival in the mundane moments, and that we would really just begin to see you, and that you would give us the strength and wisdom and help us to know what to do in our schools and in every environment that we step into, God, that you would just continue to shine through us and be just to be the light for other people, God. And I thank you that you're building up leaders and that you're calling us out of the darkness to say yes to you, God. And I just declare that over the listeners. And God, we just bless this episode. We bless the listeners. And in Jesus' name, we give you the glory. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
So thank you guys so much for watching.
Yeah.
If you enjoyed this episode, give it a like.
Share it.
Rate. Review. Yeah. Share. Follow wherever you're listening. Mm-hmm. We love you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
Toodles.
Bye.